Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Today we are talking about reducing friction in your creative process. And I had to laugh about this because right at the time that we are sitting down to record this podcast, I have something that is going to create a whole lot of friction in my creative process. So some of you already know we have a new family member. We have a little Cavoodle puppy. So that's the breed. A lot of people have been asking me about what this puppy is. So it's a cross between a poodle and a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. And her name is Willow. So she's sitting on my lap right at the moment because she's had a pretty exhausting morning. But it's going to be very interesting over the next few weeks to determine just what this means for my creative process. But I'm one of those people that the minute that things start to get calm in my life, I just like to throw something in there to make sure that it's chaotic.
Yeah, it's like your anxiety. Every time you're not anxious, you look for something to be anxious about.
I'm the crazy one in our relationship. Everything that we do, whether that's buying a new house, getting a studio, even the children, pets, everything is me. I can feel it coming on. Like I'll be walking around the house and thinking to myself, this is just too easy.
I remember when we were going to get married and we wanted, I think we were looking at getting married in South Africa or something like that. But your brother got married in Canada. And it was like, oh, if we get married now, the family can't come. And just in the same sentence, you just turned and went, let's have a baby. That's where Sophia came from.
Yeah, I like to chase the chaos. We've only just got over buying this studio and decorating it. The last 6 months or so have been quite hectic with renovations and just the stress of having two properties. And we just got to the point where I was like, oh, you know, we're settled in. We don't need to do much now. Let's get a puppy.
And I was away. All good. She's lovely.
All good. She is absolutely beautiful. I'm pretty much obsessed with her at the moment. So it's taking up a lot of my mental space. But it's actually a really nice break for me because one of the things that I've realized is that I think about art and the art business all of the time. It's like I wake up and I think about it. I go through my day, my work day. I get home, I think about it. I'm thinking about it in the evening. And I don't feel like I have enough reprieve or breaks or even other hobbies and interests and things like that. And these days, we see so much on social media. It's almost like we're encouraged to think that we need to be 100% working on our art or our art business all of the time. And the last week or so with the puppy, I've just experienced this sense of peace and calm from stepping away and going for several hours at a time where I haven't looked at my phone, I haven't thought about anything in relation to art. And I know that this is an art podcast, but I do feel it's important to have other things in your life and other interests and not feel the pressure to be artsy all day, every day.
I was just thinking to myself the other day, as I was watching you interact with Willow, I started to understand how service dogs work because you just started to absolutely relax. You weren't, not that you're uptight, but you weren't talking about art the second you woke up. You weren't talking about what we had to get done that day. And there was things on our list of things to do that you just put off. You're like, oh, we'll do the podcast on Thursday. Don't worry about Wednesday. And I'm looking at you going, oh, so now there's something in your life that kind of puts everything in perspective, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And she helps me to slow down and enjoy the little things, which is lovely, like going outside and having a coffee while she's going toilet and things like that. And it's just lovely to slow down. And I didn't realize how much I needed that because I do go at a million miles an hour a lot of the time. And then I do get exhausted. And it's a very deep exhaustion that I experience. And I seem to be able to like pull it back before I get completely burnt out. But it's like it's always there.
Well, she has her first vaccinations, so she has to get her final ones in a few weeks. And then she'll be able to go for walks, longer walks, and that kind of thing. And I just feel that even though we had Cooper before, we had Cooper when we started the art business, and then he kind of got left behind. Whereas with this dog, she requires a lot of attention and upkeep. And it's also a commitment that we had to decide before we got her. You know, we have a business, we have a studio, we have a house. Do we get this dog? And if we do get it, are we willing to put the time into it? And I think making that decision in your head, that conscious decision to say, I will look after this dog, it means then you make the time for it.
And it was more than that, because I made a conscious decision, not just that I would look after the dog, but that I would enjoy looking after it and put a positive spin on it and take the opportunities that she gives me to just rest on the couch with her on my lap. This morning I was having my coffee. You made me a coffee just before we started this podcast. And I often drink my coffee while I do my emails in the morning. And I do enjoy my coffee in the morning. But this morning she was on my lap. I sat down looking out the window in our studio and I just drank my coffee, no phone in my hand. And I said to you afterwards, that was like the best coffee I've had in a long time. So it's bringing in an element of mindfulness.
There's people listening to this podcast right now and they're going, Laura, what are you talking about? I do that every single morning. Or that's a normal thing to do and to feel and experience. But you're crazy. Like, for you to slow your mind down, I have to stop calling you crazy. What do I have to call you? A powerful woman?
What have I to call you? I'm meant to be a relaxed woman.
Oh, a relaxed
woman.
That's
the theme of this season. In case anyone's new around here, we started off talking about how one of my goals for this year is to be a more relaxed woman, more easygoing, to let go of some of the pressures that I put on myself, the feeling like I need to go 24/7. It's just something that has developed with having an art business. The online world is tricky and challenging. You really do feel like you're on all the time. And I've found it pretty hard to deal with. Yeah, this year's focus is about becoming more relaxed and letting go of some of that.
You're doing a great job.
I'm almost starting to cry. let me just regather myself here. Must be the puppy.
Yeah.
Is it don't they say when you have a new baby, it like brings all your emotions out? Like sometimes you get baby blues and things. I don't have puppy blues, but certainly it's making me realize what's important.
My defenses go up, and the way they go up is I lean into my, in inverted commas, my masculinity. It's quite destructive. Because I'm like, it's only a dog. You shouldn't treat the dog like that. These are the words that are coming out of my mouth. But inside, I feel overly protective. I want to play with the dog a lot. It's just weird how our emotions war with each other. Like for a big, gruff man, small, cute dog. You know, kind of like, it's crazy what you just spoke about, how our emotions play with us, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's good for me too to be able to soften up, because that's what I want to do more of. Like, you want to be a more relaxed woman. Mm. I want to be a softer, more gentle man.
So Willow's here to help us with this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of the update of where we're at. So we picked up this puppy last weekend. So she's really new and she's just had a couple of days at the studio. So I've been bringing her here each day. So she is going to be a studio companion. That's the idea. And we did choose a breed, or at least I chose a breed. I did a lot of research around what type of dog I wanted to bring into this environment, and having a dog that is quite placid and easygoing and gentle and all of those things. We had a golden retriever previously, beautiful dog, but did require a lot, and particularly in relation to exercise. And I wanted a dog that would fit in a little bit more easily with this kind of relaxed lifestyle that we've built here, and being able to just, you know, sit and chill while we do a podcast and laze around while I'm doing my art. Maybe I'm in fantasy land at this point, because it's undoubtedly going to be a bit more tricky as she gets older and gets into the real puppy chewing, biting phase. But anyway, we did our research, and I guess we'll just keep you posted. We'll keep you posted on how the studio dog is going. I think one of the reasons why I really wanted to get a dog is because we now have this studio that is separate to home. And I never really realized that I'm a real animal person, but I miss having animals around. And we have a cat at home, and we used to have a dog, but we haven't got anything here, or we haven't had anything here. And so it just didn't feel right to me. I don't know. That's all I can say. So we'll keep you posted on how things go with the pup, but we better get into our topic. We'll call that part of the conversation studio news, because that's our biggest studio news, is that we have a studio dog now. Sorry for anyone who's been listening and is waiting for us to get onto a real conversation about art things. But anyway, the conversation that I had in mind for today was about identifying where you feel friction in your creative process. So there are many places where you might struggle in the process of making art or any other creative pursuit. And I find it interesting because it is very much personality based, and we can learn so much about ourselves when we think about what we are doing and where we struggle and where we find joy. This could be the first puppy challenge we have. She's just jumped off my lap and is now looking at the cords for the podcast mics, which of course we have many cords here.
No more puppy talk.
Okay, sorry. You can take that out if you want.
No, I'll leave it in.
So, we can look at our creative process, see what we enjoy, see where we are challenged, and learn a lot about ourselves. And that's one of the things that I've absolutely loved and benefited from with being an artist over the last decade or so. It's taught me so much about myself. It's also helped me to find peace with the personality that I have, to adapt things to suit me, to be okay with being me, to find different options. Sometimes when we are in a 9-to-5 job, we are put in a job and it's very difficult for us to change what we are doing to suit our personality. But one of the great things about running your own business, I talked about all the hard stuff earlier on in this conversation, but one of the most beautiful things is that I have been able to decide what I want to do based on what makes me feel good, feel confident. And I've tried many things. I've done retreats, I've done markets, I've done selling prints, all sorts of different things. Obviously, online classes and stuff like that. And I've been able to choose which things are better for me and my personality. What I was thinking is that we could talk about the different possible points where you might feel challenged and then come up with some ideas and ways that you might work through that. So last week we talked about the challenge of making time for art. So I won't go into that in this conversation, but if that is your challenge, then definitely listen to last week's conversation. But let's assume that you have time for your art or whatever creative work you want to do. One of the first things that could come up is not knowing where to start and having too many ideas, too many projects. And this is something that has affected me over the years. Sometimes I go into my studio and I don't make anything for a good hour or so because I'm shuffling through things. I can't decide what to work on. I start something, then I start something else. And I wish that I just went in and knew exactly what I was going to do. And when I look at some artists that are really prolific, I know that they are just getting into their work straight away. So I don't know. Do you relate to this at all? You're nodding your head.
I follow a couple of fitness guys on YouTube. Like for my 50th birthday, I've built my own gym. And the one thing that you have to have is a plan. So you have a whiteboard out there. So I go in and I write my workout. And I know what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm going to do. Because any time there's a gap or a moment where I can think, I'll stop and I'll procrastinate and I'll change direction. So yeah, having a plan, knowing exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to execute it, that's the way.
It's definitely the way. And there have been different ways that I've done that in my art process. Sometimes I get really into sketchbooks and I have a sketchbook that I've put together a list of prompts or something like that, and I've decided that I'm going to finish this sketchbook. And then I am so prolific. Like I'll just go into my studio, the sketchbook will be laid out from the day before. As I said, sometimes I have a list of prompts or things that I'm going to work through in that sketchbook. So I might look at my list and it'll say something like contrast or gentle shapes or some kind of prompt. And then straight away, I get into that process. Similarly, I have set up like a travel art kit, and I find that really good too. So it's a small kit of supplies that I use when I am on the go. I took it on holidays with me recently, and it has just enough mixed media supplies for me to get stuck into art but eliminate some of that decision making that can be overwhelming.
That time a couple of weeks ago when you painted on the Friday and then you wanted to come back the following Saturday, the next day, you don't have that problem when you're in the middle of a project.
Yeah.
It's only when you want to get up and going.
Yeah, it's when I lose momentum that I struggle.
Mm.
When I have momentum, it's great.
I'm the same.
So if I've started a painting and then I wake up in the morning and I know that that's what I'm doing today, I'm going straight into that painting, I'm going to keep working on it, I love that. But sometimes if I've been a bit all over the place and I haven't got a clear goal, I struggle. And that's why, as you said, having a plan is great, whether you are committing to a challenge. I know many people are starting the 100-day project, which is an art challenge where you do a little, well, it's not a little, it's a big project, but you choose a theme or some kind of idea and you do it for 100 days. That's happening right now. That is a great way to bring momentum into your creative practice and get rid of this not knowing where to start, because it's what you said, it's a plan. You come up with a plan. And I love when people share how they approach the 100-day project, because many people will spend some time preparing for it. And that's the key, because what they might do is cut all their paper. So they have 100 sheets of paper on their table, decide what supplies they are going to use, create a list of prompts or pick a color palette, pick a theme, have a couple of books that relate to that theme on their desk. It's all about preparation. And sometimes preparation gets a bad rap in the art world because we're meant to be just inspired, like you know what am I trying to say, like you sort of floating around and just getting inspired by things as you go. Preparation helps you to get inspired.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking to myself when you were saying the 100-day challenge and cutting up 100 pieces of paper, but you don't have to have a plan for 100 pieces of paper. You just need to have 100 pieces of paper and then run with that.
Yeah, you don't want to plan out absolutely everything. It's always about striking that balance between having a bit of preparation but also just allowing your creative process to take over and your intuition to come into how you work. But I'm trying to think, what other ways have I overcome the challenge of starting?
Have you ever been forced into having to start?
Well, that's probably one of the biggest ones that has helped. Whenever I have something that has a deadline, I'm great with that. Mm. I'm great with licensing requirements when I've had to fulfill a brief, exhibitions, markets, anything like that, then that just really gets me going because I work well with structure. I work well with deadlines. So again, it's about understanding your personality, and I struggle a lot without deadlines. I'm very, I just need something. I guess most of us do need some kind of structure, don't we?
Yeah, I'm exactly the same as you. A couple of podcasts ago, we were talking about, you know, finding our passion again and getting back into work. And literally 2 days ago, I got a phone call from a guy. He wants me to make 3 short videos for him, 3 presentations. And it's an excellent job. And I cannot wait to sink my teeth into it. So the first thing I have to do is create a shot list for each video, go and talk to him. And yeah, he's given me full autonomy to do this project. And yeah, I cannot wait to get started. But there's a deadline. It needs to be delivered for July.
Yeah, I need to give myself a deadline at the moment because I am not working towards anything. And it's creating a whole world of, to use the word that we've been using in this podcast a lot, chaos. Because I have been working on some large canvases. I've been working on some watercolor paintings. I've been working on some collage pieces. I've been working on wooden panels. It's just all over the place at the moment. I got very excited with having a new studio, and I keep wanting to test out different things and materials, and I haven't settled down. And I thought I would have settled down by now, but I just haven't settled into anything. So I think I need to bring some kind of deadline into the mix to give myself more structure.
Yeah, well, we have a course running at the moment, and we're looking at making some minis this year. So that's a deadline. So there'll be plenty of work coming up for that. So maybe that will push you and point you in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that will help. I have a couple of ideas for mini classes that I want to create, and classes do work as far as giving me a focus, because when I create a class, I spend a good bit of time before I film any lessons, just focusing in on that process, those materials, what would be a good teachable project. And it helps me to find focus. And usually I just freestyle with the concept for a while until I get that rush of, yeah, this is it. I want to teach this. This is fun. I'm enjoying this. I wait until I found the joy. And then I know that if this is something that really fires me up and makes me want to make art, it's a good chance that other people will feel the same way. So, yeah, I think that's probably what I need at the moment. I am one of those people, and we said this last week, that always has a lot on the go. And I work across many mediums, many substrates, many subjects. That can be a challenge for me. I do feel like this year I want to simplify. I think it might be time for me to make some decisions around some of the work that I do and maybe knock a few things off the list and just go, okay, it's time to focus on maybe these 3 things rather than these 10 things. That's something I think would be helpful.
Yeah, it's funny because like you talk about you want to be a more relaxed woman. You fix everything in the home and in the studio, but you don't relax around your art.
Yeah, I would like to get in and have a bit more of a relaxed flow with my work, know what I'm striving towards and what I'm working on. And I've heard other artists who struggle with this say that it can be helpful to write a list of everything that you want to do, to get it out, like all your ideas out onto paper, and then choose the few that you are going to focus on, but know that they're still there for another time when you do want to revisit ideas, but just to park them. I think it works on a psychological level to just write everything out and allow yourself to let some of those things go. So that's the challenge of starting. Sometimes I have the challenge of stopping. But we won't get into that today. Let's talk about once you are in your process. I feel like there are a couple of things that could come up. One might be when you hit the middle part of a project, where sometimes the fun isn't quite there. You know how you can get into a painting or some kind of creative project and you start and you're really excited and it's great and you're having loads of fun and it's all new, and then you get to the point where you're in the middle and it starts to feel like work and you've got to problem solve and there's annoying things going on. And it's not just like the fun of a first layer of paint where you're just splashing things down. Now you're in the middle and you've got to spend a bit of time resolving things, maybe doing something that's a bit boring. You might be painting around a subject and just painting in the background and it's just a bit tedious. And there's that point where it's not fun anymore. And how do you reduce that so that you don't give up at that point?
For me, it's usually a technical issue. The light is changing. One client has a louder voice than the other. Positions change. Anything can happen, something dynamic or unplanned for. I stress a little and I push through and it feels like work. But when I look back on a project, it's always that bit that I remember most fondly.
Well, it's very similar in art because it is often the technical side that will challenge you. So it will be getting your light and your shadows, or perhaps you're working on a portrait and it's the hands or something like that that are just tricky and you can't get it right and you have to keep on doing it again. Or you might be painting in a background color and you paint in the colour and the colour is too light, it doesn't provide enough contrast with the subject. Then you paint in dark and you've gone too dark. So it is that part of the process that requires a bit more grit and determination. But as you said, when you solve those problems, you feel amazing. It gives you a real rush to work through a challenge. I'm trying to think what to do if you are struggling in that moment of working through something. What are some good strategies if you are working on a sound issue, for example, with you with videography or a lighting problem, and it's getting under your skin, you're getting angry, frustrated? What do you do in those situations?
Well, the first thing I have to do is to ignore the compulsion to fix what's happening straight away. I need to step back. And if the audio is bad, at least I have bad audio. If I step in and try and fix it straight away and I mess it up, now I don't even have bad audio. I've got nothing. So I can remember this, and I still do it sometimes when we film. I do it very rarely, but I had to fix this, is I would chase the shot. So let's say you were painting with your paintbrush, or if I was filming someone on a stage, or we were doing a documentary and I was following somebody, I would chase the person. What I learned later on was to relax, widen the shot, and allow the subject to move through the frame, as opposed to me chasing that person around. And that was something I had to learn, because I felt it was falling apart. I'm chasing the face, but I'm losing the hands, or I'm chasing the feet and I'm losing the face. One of those things. And it's like that with audio. Like I'll see it's starting to clip, they're talking too loud, or somebody else comes into the shot and they're shouting. And my go-to is to get to the button and dial it down where I should relax, just let it happen, and then adjust as we go. But don't be so quick to jump in. So what we've been talking about, that sacred pause, to be able to take a deep breath. It's not the end of the world. Relax. And then address.
That's the best advice ever. Can you come into my studio and give me that advice when I'm about to obliterate something that I don't like? Oh my goodness, I've done that so many times and then looked back at process photographs and wished that I'd taken more of a pause, because I've got nothing now. It's exactly what you've said, especially when I'm working with acrylic and I can layer over things so easily. I get frustrated, and next of all, I've got a big tub of paint or gesso and I'm ripping into it and I'm covering it up, and I've lost everything in that. I've lost all the beautiful nuances of what I had created, and now I've just got this big slab of paint without any of that. So I love that. I love that. That's, as I said, I think that's the best advice ever, is just to not be in such a hurry to fix it when it gets tough going, and try and give yourself a little bit of time, because when you are in this phase, it's a mental game. You are now dealing with the challenge of managing your mental state. It's actually the bigger game than dealing with the technical side of things.
It's 100% a confidence thing. I will chase a shot because I'm not confident. I need to be able to be totally confident to sit back and just allow things to happen. We want to control things. I feel if I'm not in control, then I'm not being creative.
Yeah, the same thing happens to me. I feel like I'm losing control of the painting, and I sometimes start to panic rather than letting it go in a different direction and sitting with a mark or a shape or an image that doesn't feel quite right, but sitting with it for a bit, because maybe it's just uncomfortable to me because it's something I haven't used before. Mm. Maybe I'm not seeing the whole painting just yet. All I can see is this mark that is standing out so much to me because it's a color I haven't used, or a shape, or it doesn't fit with what I consider to be the norm. It's outside of my comfort zone, and sometimes I put it in and then straight away I'm like, oh no, that's not right, cover it up. And then later on I'm like, why did I do that? Why didn't I just sit with that for a bit? Or maybe adapt it in a smaller way, like maybe glaze over it with a transparent paint so that the mark is still there, or cover up part of the mark, or make more marks so that instead of just having this one thing that stands out, maybe if I give it a few friends on the painting, then there'll be a bit of repetition and it won't stand out so much. So what we need as artists is tools. We need our tools to be able to do things that are constructive rather than destructive.
This is something I learned very slowly and very painfully. Like, I would sit in the edit and the voiceover or what the person was saying would be fantastic, and you'd be getting an up close shot of their feet or an out of focus shot because I was playing with the lens, because I was chasing something. Oh my God, they're saying something amazing. Make the shot look amazing. Yeah, I didn't have the confidence to just let it happen. And then when I bring the shot into the edit, I'm like, I can't believe I ruined that. Like, I ruined that shot.
It's amazing how much it correlates with painting. And I feel like if you are struggling a lot with this part of the process, just telling yourself to perhaps stop before you feel like it's time to stop.
If you're struggling with this part of the process right now, I promise you, you're about to grow exponentially. You're about to come out of this a much, much better creative.
Especially if you learn to pause, take a breath, and approach it in a more relaxed way and gain some mastery over your mental state, because the technical side will follow from that. So that's the phase of in the middle. So in the art world, we often talk about it being the messy middle or the ugly duckling or something like that, that stage of the creative process where the path isn't clear and you're struggling with something. Then you might move further through and you're really close to the finish line, but you've got to do that last bit. And there are many people that have friction with finishing. When I reflect back on my art and my art process, aside from the fact that I struggled to get my work out into the world, which is another aspect which we'll talk about before we finish off today, but I do finish things. Like, I'm quite good at finishing. I think for me it's more about getting started that I struggle with. And yet I know so many people who are brilliant at getting started and don't finish. And I wonder if that's a personality thing, because I feel like once I've decided I'm doing something, I'm very driven and I finish most things that I want to finish. Of course, I have unfinished canvases lying around and bits and pieces around. But for the most part, I see most of the paintings I start, I see them through to completion. I think the more you finish things, the more you feel the satisfaction of finishing, and I've softened my idea of what's finished as well, and that's helped, because some people might not even consider some of the things that I call finished as finished, but there's a part of me that recognizes that a painting is finished when I feel done with it. It's served its purpose for me. I'm ready to move on. And sometimes I might even go back to that painting in a few years and change it. But for the 3-year gap, I've considered that painting finished, which has given me a lot of closure and freedom. I'm not sitting there thinking I have all these unfinished paintings in storage. I don't. I have all these finished paintings in storage. So I feel like finishing is not something that I struggle with a lot. I even quite enjoy having what I would call a finishing day, where I bring pieces in and I work through the process of bringing them to an end point. I guess I have learned through painting to let go of a lot of perfectionism. And so this isn't something that I was very good at to start with. When I started, I was atrocious. I would cry over paintings because I couldn't get them how I wanted them. I would be horrible to live with because I put so much pressure on myself to create the perfect painting. Every painting I stood in front of, it was like I felt that painting was a reflection of everything that I am as an artist in that one painting.
I seen a quote the other day, perfectionism is a form of cowardice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's extreme, it's deep, and I relate.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because you are afraid, you are fearful that it's not good enough, that you haven't done your best, that it could be better. And I can tell you now, as someone who was very perfectionistic as a child, that it will never be good enough. There will always be something that you can make better. That's a horrible way to live. And I've learned that. And thankfully, I don't feel that way now. I can look at paintings and I feel happy with them. And that took a while. And so sometimes I get people write to me and say, I've been making art for a while and I just don't love anything that I create. And I understand that, because for years I didn't love anything that I created. I would hang things, sell things, put things up in cafes and wonder if there was something wrong with me because I wasn't standing in front of my work and feeling really proud. It just took a long time for me to get to a point. And it's only now that I've pulled out pieces that we had in storage and I look at them and I'm proud. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the work I've created. I'm proud of the journey that I've been on. But it just took time.
Yeah, I just came back from Dubai and had a massive trip over there with sport. And I mean, we didn't get the result we wanted. And I took that so hard. You know? I come home to my daughter's 16th birthday, a new dog. I'm back to the family. And I'm just in this hole. It's because I couldn't control the outcome. And then you start blaming yourself, you know, maybe I should have done that. And maybe I should have done this. And if that had been correct, maybe the result would have changed. And it's just a horrible way to live. it's absolutely crazy to want to try and control things that are uncontrollable.
Yeah, and it's the root of so much pain and misery when we are trying so hard to control things. And it's such a release when we let it go. And I encourage anyone who struggles with this to look at their work and really try to find something in it that makes them happy. Like, I want people to big themselves up. Is that what you say?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I now walk past things and I big myself up. I look at paintings. Like, I walk past the paintings that you talked about last week in our hallway, and I say to myself regularly as I walk past, I painted them. Allow yourself to celebrate. And the same with you. You've made so many incredible films. All of our online classes that people are always sending me lovely messages about, you are filling so many people's lives with joy. And yet we fixate on the one or two things that we're struggling with, the projects that aren't going our way, and yet we have all this creative work out there. So I want to encourage people today to give yourselves praise. Praise your work. Find the thing in the work. Even if you don't love the whole painting, find the color palette. Find the, in your case, you know, find the light, the bit of footage, the amazing shot that you got because you put in the effort, because you went and did something hard. You were out in the elements. Like, find the parts of it and celebrate.
I think we get this big, well, for me anyway, I get this shift between self-esteem and ego. So my ego beats me up because I haven't finished something, where I should be leaning into my self-esteem, where, oh, look what I have done and I am good at this. So I should big myself up. I should push my ego to the side and I should big myself up and say, I am good at this. I am capable. I think I'll go and finish that right now.
I love that distinction between ego and self-esteem, because it's so true. It's the ego that gets in the way. The ego is the root of the perfectionism, whereas our self-esteem we need to nurture and care for, and it's not egotistical to look at your work and find beauty in it. That's beautiful for your self-esteem, and we need to realize that. And not confuse the two, and not think that because we're looking at our work and thinking it's fabulous that we're being egotistical. We're not. We are nurturing our creative spirit inside. So the last thing I wanted to touch on before we finish off this conversation, and it really ties in with self-esteem, and that is another friction point, which is sharing your work. So as I said before, I'm pretty good at finishing work, but I'm not very good at sharing it and thinking that other people will enjoy it as much as I do. I have a bit of a barrier around selling some of my pieces. And do you know what I've realized? It's the ego that's got in the way with this, because when I started my art journey and I was doing art markets and selling work often in person, this did not affect me at all. But somewhere over the last 10 years, my ego has told me that I should be better than that artist. I've been doing this a while now. I have a lot of followers on Instagram. I have a podcast. My ego has said that my work's not good enough anymore. And it's got in the way of me sharing my work, whereas I shared it freely. So if you are just at the start of your art journey, embrace it. Share your work. Don't let your ego get in the way. I'm now having to do some work around that in order to realize that my work is of value. And it doesn't have to be, you know, in the highest regarded galleries or in, you know, anything like that, or winning prizes in order for it to be appreciated. So I'm the only one getting in the way of this, of sharing my work. And I have become increasingly busy with other things as well. There is an element of that too. But you often say to me, you know, why don't you just put these pieces up for sale? Why don't you clear out, have a studio clearance sale. And there's some part of me that feels like if I do that, there's judgment attached to that. So people will be like, oh, she's not as good an artist as I thought she was.
Or you don't sell anything.
Oh, yeah, or I don't sell anything. There's that too, because again, you know, once you reach a certain level, there's a little bit more pressure and you feel this pressure. And of course, we see these things on social media, you know, I sold out my work in 10 minutes. And then I think, oh, is my pricing too cheap? Because now I should be charging more. And then if I charge more, will no one buy? And there's all this messaging that goes through in my head. And is get back to how I felt at the beginning, which was just grateful to be making art and incredibly grateful to anyone that wanted to bring a piece of my art into their home. I was just so touched. That to me was a lovely place to be. Maybe I've rose-tinted glasses, I don't know. But I also want this to be encouragement for anyone who's out there just starting their art journey to have fun with it, to appreciate your own art, to appreciate the people that come and look at your art, and just to feel those lovely feelings that can come from a creative process. So that's it for this week, everyone. I think we've covered a lot of ground. It's actually been quite an emotional conversation for me. I didn't expect it to be. I don't know if it's the puppy or whether it's just talking about some of those harder parts of the creative process and realizing that there is things that we need to work through. We do have friction points and they're often rooted in our insecurities, aspects of our personality. There aren't just things that we can go and do. We need to actually sit with it a bit, sit with the uncomfortable feelings. And that's what I've realized from this conversation, because not every part of this conversation has been 100% comfortable, because I've been talking about things that have been hard. I hope it's encouraging for people, and I just want to, encourage everyone to embrace their own creative process. So on that note, if you do want to find out any more about me and my art and our art business, I would encourage you to head over to my website, laurahornart.com. You can also find me on Instagram at laurahornart, YouTube at laurahornart. So it's all the same, so it's easy to find me. And also, I just wanted to say thank you to people who have been sharing stories, leaving reviews. This is really important. It allows us to spread the message of this podcast, get out to more people. It encourages us to keep going as well. So big thank you to everyone. We love being back. So I really hope that you're enjoying our conversations.